If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome to Women Patriots. I'm Brenda Ward, your host, along with Barbara Buffing, my co-host, here on ConservativeNationRadio.org. All things conservative for true conservatives. And I thought about different rants for today, and one of them that kind of popped into my head was, you know, the parasite became a royal prince yesterday as the third in line to the British throne was born, while the media lapdogs and the liberals just went gaga for weeks over this supposed, what the liberals like to call parasites, because they're not babies until they're born, or unless you want them. Anyhow, that's a little bit deep, and that's not really the subject I wanted to go on. So I'm going to flip topics here and talk about the military and how we already know that they're pushing Islam, they're tearing down chapels, they're allowing gay marriages in their chapels, and when you complain about it, you get reprimanded for it. Well, the latest out today is our lawmakers in Washington are battling over creating a position for chaplain for atheist and humanist. Really, people? Really? They don't believe in God, so they don't need a clergyman to talk to them about God. And if they just want to talk to somebody, they can go talk to the chaplain. This is they are trying to decimate the very foundation of America, because our foundation is built on the moral values that come from our Creator, as our founding fathers, who were all believers in a higher power, have all said. And yet, yes, now we have to have a clergyman for the atheists. And of course, the Republicans are like, "This is, you people are just crazy," because when it comes to the idea of an atheist chaplain, which is an oxymoron, it's self-contradictory. What you're really doing now is saying that we're going to replace true chaplains with non-chaplain chaplains, said sponsor Republican John Fleming, Republican Louisiana. Thank you, Representative John Fleming. He says it's just total nonsense, and the idea of having a chaplain who is an atheist. They're just trying to decimate our military. If it's not through reprimands or replacing commanders all over the place, and nobody knows why, just says disciplinary action and they're gone. You know, it's by promoting Islam and tolerance. And as we know from the new book that's going to be coming out, Betrayed, and you all should get that if you haven't, outing our secret military men, SEAL teams, targeting, making them targets for the enemy. With that, I'm bringing on Barbara. Let's say hello. Hey, Barbara.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing all right. A little frustrated when I read the news.
Oh, yeah. Definitely frustrating. It is an oxymoron. I'll tell you.
Oh, that it's crazy.
It is sad.
And why are they having this discussion when we have a $16 trillion deficit, debt, crisis, no jobs, and yet we got to argue about whether we have a chaplain for the atheists in the Army?
Of course, because they want to take the focus off of everything that's going on, and they're going to do these little tidbits, and it seems to be working because everybody's not paying attention. They're paying attention to the baby that was born. Oh, you know, God bless them that they were blessed with a baby. Really.
Yes.
But you know,
I am really happy for them. Yes.
We've got some serious issues going on in this country, and, you know, that's what we need to focus on.
Absolutely. And they're just doing all these things to distract.
Exactly. Their racism, that gets me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just so ridiculous, and so many people feed into it because they don't want to know the truth. I don't know if they're afraid of the truth. I don't know.
Or they live in a bubble.
Right.
Or they live in a bubble. Who knows? Who knows what goes on in the minds? Sometimes, you know, it's just very hard to comprehend what they're thinking. I mean, this is just crazy. You know, Leon Panetta signing with a pen, now women get to be in all forces, even the frontline SEALs, even though they can't pass the test. It's very, very frustrating what's going on in our military these days. And it's any wonder that that this country is in trouble. So for anybody listening in tonight, phone number 718-305-7176. We'd like to hear your opinions on what's happening. And tonight, joining us from
Lady
the Internet,
Patriot.
Our Lady Patriots, yes, Julia and Sharon. And they're here now, so we're going to go ahead and bring them on. We're not going to mix anything up. We're going to let you hear from them as you hear from us almost weekly. So let's bring them live. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
How are you?
Hello, ladies. I have to say, you ladies are phenomenal. Your articles, you put more articles out than I can read. they're awesome.
Thank you. Tell us
how you got this all together.
You want me to start, Sharon?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Actually, I live in Mississippi, but I'm from Texas. And on the great social media network called Facebook, I had a friend of mine, Captain Terry Heslow, in Texas that I was corresponding back and forth, and I was always impressed with his writings. And he came out with a piece on DHS. And it just struck me. I mean, it just knocked me down here as a military retired captain that is addressing the tyrannical accumulation of ammunition by the DHS. And also, you know, besides the ammunition, the weaponry and such. And he was questioning this. Well, I took his post and I put it on my blog and I shared it with a few people. And the next thing I knew, it went viral and it had 30,000 hits within the first day. Poor Terry, who had a public profile, his page actually was locked down and almost banned because he received too many friend ads. He just didn't know what to do. But Sharon, I had contacted because with this new notoriety, Terry was asked to speak for 9/12 meeting in Fort Worth, Texas, and I had been introduced by a lady with Politichicks to talk to Sharon about going up and filming it and doing an interview with Terry. Well, the next thing we know, Sharon does a wonderful interview with Terry in a video. Her and I end up becoming just the best of friends, and we started working together. And then as far as the website and everything, I'm going to let Sharon take over that because it was her brainchild.
Julia is amazing, and she has a lot of friends and a lot of contacts. And I'm a geek, and I love computers. I love to build them. I love to build websites. And I've been a pastor, and you know, in that end of. But as far as social media, that's never been a big thing for me. And so we had done this project with Terry, and then we did another project together. And I wrote an article, and she wrote an article, and we got them out together on excuse me, on my personal website. And they went viral, and we had about 20,000 hits on them within just a day or so. And so I told her, well, why don't we do this and just, you know, go together and have a website. I'd already gotten the name Lady Patriot 2 or 3 months earlier and hadn't done anything with it. So I went on and built a website, and we kind of debuted on the 22nd of May this year. And in the first month, we had right about 170,000 people on our website the first month. It's been amazing, the volume and what's been going on. We're just loving it. We're having a great time. And we're getting a lot of information out, too.
Well, I have a question.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. For I think, Sharon, you're the one that does the ministry, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
What do you think about this latest ploy to have chaplains for the atheists?
I think you hit it on the head. You see, the thing is, they can, in the military, they've got different chaplains and in different facets of different religions, you know, which are so much man-made. They don't have to have a Christian chaplain as long as they have a chaplain. So they're not going to have a Christian dealing with Christian issues. And when these young men are out in the field and everything, and they need a spiritual man, they're going to be given an atheist. Just going to say, don't worry about it. You can do this. Pull from inside. So they're taking away the spiritual direction and guidance that these young men need, and they're replacing it with the human guidance. And because they will be a chaplain, they can do it. They're not required to be Christian.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Amazing that what they come up with each and every day coming out of Washington.
It is.
So, but I just wanted your opinion because I had noticed that you were in the ministry, so I thought, well,
yes,
I'm gonna get somebody else's opinion. So how long has Lady Patriots actually been in operation, so to say?
Yesterday was 2 months.
At 2 months. Point.
Awesome.
Like I said, you ladies are phenomenal. I was grabbing some articles, and Julia and I had messaged back and forth to each other. So one topic that I wanted to get on to with you was the Facebook issue. And how that went about. But before I do that, I did have a question. You did say to me, Julia, that you have different writers for different expertise. And I noticed yesterday, I think it was, one day kind of rolls into another for me, but you just got a new writer that's a student.
Yes, we're really excited. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we started out as Lady Patriots, and believe me,
can't hear you. Okay, now I can hear you.
Not only just to our circle with the Lady Patriots, but we have, of course, Terry Heslow, and we've taken in two well-renowned writers, male writers also, so we have Gentlemen Patriots. But we've extended over to what we call our youth branch, Young Patriots, which are 21 years old and under. because we want to appeal to a younger generation also. We want feedback of what these young people, whether they're high school or college, where their mind frame is, how can we appeal for them, appeal to them, because we really need them as a voter block. They're the ones that are getting really damaged or injured. Their futures are going to be taxed to death due to the debt. The immigration policy is going to affect them as far as obtaining grants and job opportunities. And it's not just the illegal aliens. It's the bill that extends over to these extended visas of $150,000 a year for students, importing them, not just the illegal aliens here, but importing more students and more Silicon Valley-backed employees. And they've got to deal with this competition in their lives. So we feel it's important to bring them into the fold, whether it's to educate or for them to speak out to gain attention to the younger generation, saying, people are making decisions that are going to affect your lives. You have a right to say something, and we're trying to give them a voice.
Excellent. And an open mind. Especially if they're in college.
Yeah, and they're really enthusiastic. We have a hard time keeping up with them now.
They've just been waiting for an outlet, for somebody to give them that outlet, you know. So
I think they're impressed that adults will even listen to them. And this is a problem with our society, that we went from this nobody listened to children to let's listen to everything they say, and whatever they say is the most important, and never discipline children, to now they're just kind of shoved aside. And we're playing games with their lives way more than we ever had in past generations. And we do feel they have a right to say something about what's going on, because they are our future voters. We need that voting bloc.
Oh, absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head with this, you know, the Dr. Spock. I had read something on Facebook, you know, about how Dr. Spock didn't believe in discipline, and then his son committed suicide. And, you know, they've gone through all these phases instead of just, you know, teaching morals and teaching standards to your children and not sparing the rod when it's necessary. And we do now. We have a generation of parents who basically are children, and they don't want to parent their own children because it's too much responsibility, takes too much time from them. So right on with that aspect.
Yeah. That's an excellent idea. You know, and you were just saying, too, that it's going to take money away from them. And I was telling Brenda a few minutes ago that I had a really rough emotional day today, because I'm trying to go back to school to get my degree. I have 7 classes left to take, and I put money down on it out of my paycheck, this paycheck, and I thought I had gas in my motorcycle, so I took that to work, and I get to the corner, and I had to go on reserve because I didn't have gas in my motorcycle, and I had $5 left on my account. And I had to get to work. And when I got to work, I called up. I had to cancel my class. I need that money back. I can't afford to go to school. And that's really sad, because the government's taking my money for the people that don't even belong in this country legally. So I know where those students are coming from, and that's an awesome idea. I'm sorry, I was going to go off on a wicked tangent.
We can all go on different tangents, and that's why, you know, Sharon brought me into the fold and we started recruiting, is because there's so much diversity. And right now, there are so many aspects that are wrong, that you have to have that many people that have their own expertise in different fields, because you can't keep up with it otherwise.
Oh, absolutely. We hit about every subject here on Women Patriots, but there's just, in one day, so much information, you know, the immigration, the, you know, this clergy thing, the investigations into Benghazi, you know, they had General Hamm in Congress, basically called Hillary a liar because they knew it was a terrorist attack, as we all knew. But, yeah, so many stories and so much going on and so many things that need to be reported on that, yeah, a wide variety and a lot of writers, I would think, for that. So tell me a little bit, because I see this all the time, about what does Facebook do to conservative posts? Because I can't say I've ever had it happen to me, but I've seen several people say that Facebook is, do they delete posts, or what goes on with that?
They do all kinds of things. They make it where you can't share. Sometimes, you know, some of it could be a problem with the, you know, with the code in the system. But the reality is it happens a lot on specific people's pages and specific subjects. There's two or three subjects that if you put something out and a lot of people go after it, then all of a sudden it stops being able to be shared. The Star Spangled Banner, that new one that they made, that was taken down because it was, you know, it was considered abusive. They say things are abusive that just absolutely make no sense, and then they'll of course leave up something that has a, you know, a knife to a throat threatening somebody. Kill George Zimmerman, kill Sarah Palin. These things are left up, and they're clearly some vile things. I've seen pornography up there, and it's left and available, you know, and available to anybody, and it's okay. And then they'll take down a page because they said something about Islam or they said something about abortion. So it's pretty leans pretty, you know, to the left, and a lot of times it's conservatives that seem to be getting whacked a lot. And a lot of it just not able to share and not able to, or they'll say, you know, you can't, they'll ban you for a week and won't let you post anything on your page or whatever, things like that.
Yeah, and I think Kirk Cameron just had this happen with his movie he was trying to promote. Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder if there's like a collective group of liberals that troll around and maybe report pages. Or if it's actually Facebook itself. So, go ahead.
Well, I think a lot of it too is complaining. They, you know, if enough liberals complain about your page, and they get enough complaints, they're going to take it down. And that's a lot of times too. It's basically an attack from childish people a lot of times. And so they'll just take it down and listen to them before they listen to you, and only give you a chance.
They're either not monitoring it appropriately or there's something not quite right with their system. So, but
They have a page. I'm trying to look for it. I have so many pages that I have to go into all my pages to find out which one's which. But Facebook Freedom Fighters that they have on there. So when there is something like kill George Zimmerman or anything, that a whole bunch of us will go ahead and report it.
Mm-hmm.
And for that particular one, kill George Zimmerman, they said, oh, that's not a direct threat. Really?
And see, that's the thing. They will do that. They'll say that there's nothing wrong with that after it is reported.
Except for it's a hate page, which they don't tolerate. You know, they don't tolerate hate pages. And maybe this is what they think conservatives, when we actually tell the truth, maybe they're considering hate pages. But I don't know how much more hateful you can get than to say, let's kill someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, hey, we're going to take a...
If anybody listening has any questions, call in. We're at 718-305-7176. Join in the conversation or any questions. Okay, Brenda, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm just going to take a quick break, ladies, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org, and the number is 718-305-7176. Our very special guest, Lady Patriots, on Women Patriots tonight. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative, you love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
And we're back live on Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. And we have with us tonight Julia and Sharon, who are co-editors on the ladypatriots.com. You can also find them on Facebook. They're working to help us spread the conservative message. So what did you all think about Obama's speech on the Zimmerman trial?
Well, I wrote an article that day, in fact, and used part of it. He's a racist. I'm sorry. He wants to start a race war. And he's got his friends helping him, and it's not working right now, but that's what he wants.
Isn't it amazing, though, that this man is supposed to be the president of the United States,
mm-hmm.
and he's supposed to be, you know, a constitutional scholar, and yet, because it didn't go the way he wanted, he has to make statements to actually stir up the minorities in this country. And it's just phenomenal to me that people cannot see that he has no idea what the office of president stands for or what the actual job entails.
I think the Zimmerman, his speech, the first one and this last one, yes, they are tactics to cause racial division, but actually it's a diversion. He is wanting to get the nation's attention on this and to fracture the nation, so it takes the eyes off of what he and Jay Carney just classified the other day as phony scandals, referring to Benghazi and the IRS and the DOJ grabbing the AIT phone records and the illegal searches of James Rosen over at Hawks. Mm-hmm. All of these are true scandals, true crimes of this man. I mean, I don't even refer to him as President Obama because, to me, it just leaves a sour taste in my mouth. He's a disgrace to this nation. But these things, and the media is falling into them, even now with this, you know, great, they have a baby over in Britain, but this is national news. And why are our national news carrying things that have nothing to do with it? I feel like I'm turning on the National Enquirer instead of National News.
That's
they
what I thought yesterday. Yes.
Our low information voters are so captivated with reality TV and court crime cases. Why aren't they? Because of federal law, they can't show the court case with Fort Hood. But they sat there on the edge of their seats through the Zimmerman trial. Everybody who has an open mind without prejudice and watches it sees that the case was not proven against Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you think the case was proven, then you have to admit that there was self-defense and it was justified. Now he's trying to say the rule of law should not apply in certain cases that they deem it not appropriate and that they have a right to. And I, by the way, I returned back to college, too. I'm pursuing my law degree.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to ascertain that because of general population, if they can create a race riot, and then that race riot can create an outcry to overturn a judicial decision, an opinion of the court, and a jury decision, that they can almost double jeopardy. Find they're hunting for a reason to put this man in jail, to punish him, to appease the mob. This goes back to the same mentality as France with mob rule. And mob rule was only made and done to overthrow the first oligarchy rule to impose a second one. The mob never gained control. They were only used as a tool, which is exactly what minorities are being used right now, unfortunately. And Caucasians and other people are falling into the same trap. They're not realizing. You want to argue about something, argue why the rule of law is not being upheld. Don't argue about a racial war because we don't have a racial war.
We actually do, but it's not the racial war that most people we refer to. We have
a spree
of black mobs of young black people attacking white people, and that is racist.
Well, they're attacking themselves, too.
Yeah.
We have
a very young,
it all goes down. We have a very young, angry generation, black and white. I'm looking at these anarchists, and they're just as bad. They're angry. And the blacks are angry. Well, you know what? In some ways, they have a right to be angry. Their generations, their parents and their generations before them have fallen into the slavery of dependency. And that's what this government is doing, is doling out all of these dependent tools, these food stamps, these Obama phones, and everything else to gain votes, but they're trapping them into the same deep mire they have been in for generations.
Yes. Have you seen Runaway Slave?
No, I haven't. I want to.
It's excellent. It is a documentary that shows just that they are keeping them in that mentality of being dependent and how they're being kept in their little circles because they're not able to. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You know, people being kept in their own environment because that's what they know. But there are several people that have gotten out of an environment that was not good for them. Me, for instance, I did. You know, I was able to pull myself up by the bootstraps and go for what I want. And yes, it's discouraging sometimes, like my school, 7 classes left to go, and God only knows when I'll be able to finish them. But there's still hope. sorry. I cut you off, Julia.
No, not at all. And like Sharon was saying, she wrote an article about the manipulation, the term race baiter, but basically, you take the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons, they're making a ton of money on this. This is community activism, and that's all that community activism is agitation. Because as long as they keep it agitated, then they have a job. It's job security. And Obama, he wants to go down in history? Yeah, he's going to go down in history as the world's greatest agitator. That's what he's going to go down to, because he's stripping this nation. And, if you haven't had a chance to read, Sharon's or Diane's articles on this subject, they have gone to great details following this from the beginning. And I'm into the legal stuff, but I don't get into most of the social stuff. Social part of it, but it's upsetting what they're doing to this country right now.
Yeah, I actually have Sharon's article up, and when she posted it, I said, "Can we talk about this on the show Tuesday?" and I saved it because it's so right on the money. Barack Obama is a black man and a white man. So are we going to call him a white African American? That's he's just, to me,
he's not African American. This we have to clarify for people, because the low information voter does not understand that the black half of President Obama, and I, again, Julia and Sharon, it's really hard. We've all been taught to respect this office, and it makes it really hard sometimes. But his black half is Kenyan and a British citizen.
Yep.
So he's only a white American, and he's a black Briton, Kenyan, or Indonesian. Take your pick. Sorry, go ahead. I just have to correct that opinion, because I think that we as conservatives need to start correcting people when they say he's the first African-American president. No, he's not. He's not an African-American. His African side was a Kenyan. So, sorry.
Well, they have the race baiters down here, too, in North Carolina. They have Moral Mondays, they call it, and they protest everything that the state wants, such as lower taxes and things like that. So every Monday, these moral people, supposedly, another reverend, they'll go to the legislation office, and they'll stand there, and they'll break the law. They'll get arrested. They stopped arresting them. Now they're just giving them summonses because it's eaten up a lot of our money. So they're doing destructive stuff and not constructive stuff. So if you're going to do a protest, do it constructively.
And again, we want to remind you that you're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. And tonight we have Julie and Sharon, co-editors of ladypatriots.com. You want to be sure to check it out. They have some great articles from multiple different writers on that website, and just out there pushing information, because we're not going to get it from the mainstream media, obviously. So, ladies, we really appreciate that you're out there helping in this battle to just try to inform people of what's going on, basic stuff. The one article that struck me was this, we're going to have mandatory HIV testing.
Oh, okay. That's the that he passed, that he wrote on the 15th. Well, the whole Zimmerman thing was going on Monday evening after, after 5.
Yep.
They quietly put up an executive order. And the executive order, he has a team consisting of their, Solbus's HHS and the Veterans Association and you know, most of it makes sense, urban housing and development. But then they've also got the Department of Justice involved, which makes me, which just makes, first of all, a cold chill run up my back and hair stand up on end and everything else. Why is the Department of Justice involved with looking into HIV awareness? And he is coming up with a figure out of this, I don't know where, 1.1 million supposedly untreated, untested AIDS carriers here in the United States. Now, this isn't Kenya, and I don't know where he's getting these numbers from. It's not documented. I don't know where he's contriving it from. But by, according to this group that he has, they want to implement a plan of mandatory HIV testing. They said that. Now, the thing, how it's worded is, and is that they believe, they want all clinicians. Now, if you think of it, that means going to a hospital, and I do have a documented case of this happening, going to a hospital or going to a doctor's office or anywhere, that every citizen be tested from the ages of 15 to 65 for HIV pathogens. Now, that means, fine, not everybody's going to have their door knocked down and they're going to be forced to take an HIV test. But if you go to a dentist, a doctor, a hospital, you're going to be required to take them. In some places, they're already implementing it. I was contacted immediately by someone saying this is true. I took my wife to the emergency room. She broke a bone. We wanted to have x-rays, and the first thing they required before they went, you know, in admission, they said it was their hospital requirement that they had to take an HIV test. She has a broken bone, but she has to do an HIV test.
Oh,
now, there's
my,
something
wow.
That they want. So they gave this planning committee 180 days to come up with a full plan to implement this. Now, I use the word mandatory, but I don't know how else you can call it. Everything's falling under Obamacare, and according to Obamacare, any person that sees a clinician of any type has to have an HIV test.
And this is going to help the cost. This is going to help the cost of health care. How?
Well, and that's it. And once a person is tested positive by Obamacare, according to his executive order, their treatment, testing, and everything will be paid for. So if a person on the street comes up with HIV and they go get a free test and it comes up positive, they're guaranteed under Obamacare that they're going to get full coverage for all of this new testing and cures. Now, I'm from Mississippi, and University of Mississippi just had the first case of curing HIV in history. So that means you're talking about very expensive treatments.
Absolutely.
If it has just now broke in research, until it gets to where they can figure out how to mass produce and expand this research, it is going to be very expensive. But he's opening up like, hey, it's an everyday deal. We can fix it. And if you test positive, Obamacare is going to pay for it.
Well, and who's going to pay for that? That's the question everybody needs to be asking themselves, because, you know, most people, not everyone with AIDS, because I know that some people can get it from blood transfusions or in vitro, but these are people practicing irresponsible behavior, and we're going to pay for it? Because we're responsible?
That's it. You know, and I do agree. Anybody who donates blood should have an HIV test. But voluntary. That's voluntary.
Right.
I also think that anybody who lives in an alternative lifestyle, which I do not approve of, but if they do, for their own safety's sake, they should have a test and take precautions. But the thing is most people who test positive then hide it. So they're not disclosing it, and there has been proven cases of people that should be charged with murder if they know that they have it, and they go turn around and, you know, share it. But the thing is that why would a 15-year-old child be required to take a test when they go to the doctors?
Because they're pushing.
You know, why would a virgin child be required to take it? Why would a 65-year-old person that maybe is a widow be required to take it?
Yeah, the bottom line is...
There's a real ethical problem.
Right. The bottom line is you should not be required to take an HIV test just to get treatment at a hospital, because hospitals practice universal precautions to protect the staff from getting these infections, and I know this, I'm a nurse, I've been a nurse for, oh my God, probably 30 years now, and you protect yourself. So there is no medical reason for that to happen. And again, once again, they're trying to eliminate responsibility for behavior.
Well, it's not only that. This is a but this is a violation of our Bill of Rights. I mean, according to our Fourth Amendment, you cannot collect, you cannot do a body search, or you cannot collect DNA. You cannot collect blood on someone unless they give it, give you their consent, or you go to the courts and you gain a search warrant. And what this is doing, because in the executive order it says that they're going to collaborate and correlate and collect this information. You're going to go into the data pool with the IRS that you have AIDS. I mean, and they're going to share this information with other agencies. And I'm sure that's why the DOJ is involved with it, because, first of all, they're trying to figure out how to get by HIPAA law in doing this, and also the Fourth Amendment. They're trying to figure out how they can regulate around our rights of not consenting to something. So their idea is that, well, since it's a tax and it's not, it's voluntary, you don't have to go and bomb the care if you just want to pay the tax and not carry the insurance. But if you do take Obamacare, you have voluntarily taken the policy that's not supposedly mandatory according to the Supreme Court. And in doing so, you've accepted their requirements, all 20,000 regulations, you know, and saying that I give up all my rights and you can collect bodily fluids, put them on a chart, put my label up there, put my name, share it with IRS, share it with, you know, the FBI, share it with, you know, the DOJ or whatever, and they'll have this information pool. I have a real big problem with my privacy being invaded.
Yeah, definitely. I do too. And the way the low information voter, they think, okay, it's for free, so, and they don't even know how to read, so they don't know what they're getting into. Which a lot of people don't know how to read still. And that's sad, but I do have a major problem with that as well. How dare they? Who do they think they are? It infuriates me.
Well, I think probably Sharon, as a PhD in Christian ministry and also counseling, she probably has the ethical standards on this too, as far as in violations of condoning what we think is alternate, you know, behaviors. And I mean, I'm going to let Sharon talk about that, but I just think this is shoving morality.
It's a vast invasion of privacy. And as you mentioned, the HIPAA laws, which are, you're not supposed to have access to any information that isn't essential to your delivery of care to the patient. And yet the government's going to give the IRS information on whether or not you have AIDS. I mean, wow. And then costs. I mean, these tests aren't cheap. Who's going to pay for that? That's going to somehow decrease the cost of healthcare, which is the problem we have in this nation, is the cost of healthcare, which Obamacare did nothing to fix.
Well, I think personally that if the government would promote abstinence instead of the abortion pill, that might be a better deal, so people don't have to go get the AIDS test. But that's just me. I might be weird.
Yes, but that's not going to happen. The broader plan, I'm not into conspiracy theory, but we all do know about Agenda 21, and this whole thing is basically leading up in that direction. Having abortions and the moral breakdown of the home and whatever is just part of the agenda. If you look back at the communist agenda earlier in the last century and the plan that they laid out, you know, they're taking it step by step by step. And this is all part of the steps of the process of breaking down the family, breaking down the society, breaking down the education. And they're not going to go back. I mean, the only way we're going to go back to anything is to take it. And,
right.
You know, in elections or whatever. But they're not going to do abstinence.
Oh, no, no, because they want to push the agenda that your child is, oh, if he thinks he's a girl at two, which, Sharon, I don't know how you feel about this, but, you know, I have 7 children, I have 9 grandchildren, and children of that age are not really aware of themselves sexually, even up into the ages of 6, 7, and 8, unless you're pushing something on them.
Exactly,
or
yes.
You know, I don't know where they're coming up with these ideas that these little kids know, you know, that they're not a boy or they're not a girl when they are a boy or a girl. I think this is more societal driven. And
it is.
I think it's a shame. I think it's almost criminal when I see these photos of. Go ahead.
One thing it does, it like breaks down. Years ago, they started putting kids together for sex education. Then they would show videos, and the girls would giggle, and they would look at each other, and the boys would look at each other, and they would grin. And it broke the walls down between the girls and the boys sexually. It broke that wall down that had been there for so long. And they've gradually broken those walls down between the genders. And now the walls are to the point where you have a little boy that says, I want to be a girl. I think I want to be a girl. And so he can go into the girls' gym. He can go into the girls' locker room. He can take a shower with the girls, and they can't say anything about it. And, you know, we've gotten to that point where it's all part of that larger agenda that, you know, breaking down those walls. And you know, and so that's what this is all. I saw a little 11-year-old the other day sitting on a park bench between both of her mothers.
Oh.
And both of her mothers were talking about this sex change operation they were about to do for her. Because she wanted to, I think, be a boy. And I looked in that kid's eyes, and I saw such deep pain. I just ached for that child, because that child is not involved in it, except that child is an experiment. And that's what we're
that
doing.
That child was under
children.
Emotional abuse.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's horrible.
If somebody doesn't look into that child's eyes, they're going to think that the child wants it.
Exactly.
Am I correct?
But children don't know what's best for themselves. This is the problem. It's a parenting issue. You know, children don't make the rules, and parents do.
And
even at 11.
They want to please their parents. They want to please. This child, I'm sure, is wanting to please one or both of his mothers. And that's a lot of it there, that child wants to make that mom or make that dad happy and be, you know, and we all do. I mean, my mother's 80 years old, and I still want to please her. That's
right.
Something that God put within us, and these children want to please their parents. And so it's just, and society knows this. The planners of our society has, you know, they planned this a long time ago and how to, you know, how to break down these walls, and this is just, you know, part of the process.
And getting rid of our Bibles and our religion was one of those goals. And I posted that link, Sharon. I'm glad you brought up that communist agenda, because if you haven't heard of it, people, I posted a link there with the list. It's also written in The Naked Communist, back, which was written in 1958. And if you follow that, you will see, you know, even what we were just talking about earlier with the protest, you know, infiltrating the press, use student riots to form a public protest. So what are they doing, you know, with the minorities? They're using them. And then the last one here is promote the UN. And I'm hearing that in August, Obama is planning to actually sign the UN agenda for the small arms treaty and try to put us under UN rule. Pretty scary stuff. Yeah, pretty scary stuff. So we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. Our special guests tonight are Julia and Sharon, who are co-editors on ladypatriots.com. You can also find them on Facebook. Our number is 718-305-7176. We want to know what you have to say.
If you love America, you're among friends here. conservativenationradio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Not surprisingly, House Republicans are sounding skeptical about what President Obama will say in his big speech on the economy tomorrow.
The president says he's going to go out and pivot back to jobs. Well, Welcome to the conversation, Mr. President. We've never left it.
House Speaker John Boehner said today that Obama is about to threaten a government shutdown since he'll likely propose more tax increases that Republicans don't want. Current government funding expires at the end of September, at which point both parties will need to agree on a full-year budget or another continuing resolution. The White House, meanwhile, says the president's speech tomorrow won't really be about spelling out specific policy goals or advising Congress on what steps to take. Rather, it'll be about Obama's vision for how the country's economy should work.
We need to continue the recovery. We need to continue the progress that we have made.
Spokesman Jay Carney said today that the economy is strong, but not strong enough.
Growing, but not growing fast enough. Creating jobs, but not creating enough jobs.
Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
We're back live, Women Patriots, on conservativenationradio.org, 718-305-7176. If you want to have a question for Julie or Sharon and want to just talk about ladypatriots.com or got anything to say, we want to hear from you, so give us a call. Okay, and we were just kind of talking about that communist agenda and the poor children and the push for the LBG community and the acceptance, which the Supreme Court did not really help in their ruling on the, you know, California session. So, I don't know, Julia. You said you were studying law, and I don't know if you have any opinion on this, and even in this regard. But didn't the state rule that they didn't want gay marriage in California?
Yes.
And didn't the Supreme Court say that it was up to the states?
Yes, it's kind of a dichotomy here. The states passed Proposition 8, which said that they did not recognize gay marriage. And in doing so, did not recognize giving marital benefits to gay individuals if under the rule of marriage law. This was taken to Supreme Court and contested. In the basically, what happened is the Supreme Court overruled Proposition 8, and this, it just blows my mind. We're losing our Bill of Rights, or, you know, our Amendment 10. We're giving up our state rights, our sovereignty. No, and I'm telling you, if we end up having this administration put two more justices in, Our country's sunk, because I'm a full lover of law and the rule of law and our procedures, and it is being dismantled day by day. And now even our Supreme Court, which I've always held in the highest regard, is violating their authority of upholding the Constitution. The government refused, Obama had decided to refuse the standing law of DOMA that had been previously enacted by Clinton, and protecting, you know, one man, one woman. And in doing this, the Supreme Court marked down Proposition 8, but not only did that, they went one step further. They said that any state that had laws that validated marriage, that those individuals that marriage had to be recognized and full benefits applied to it. And then the problem is when you go to states that are not reciprocal with the same rules, those people are not supposed to. And now it's being challenged everywhere. This is an open door to basically taking states' rights away and enacting full LGBT marriage rights, benefit rights across the board for this country is what it's going to do unless people start fighting it. But no, as far as I'm concerned, I'm still sitting here baffled about it because I do study law. I do not see where their justification is of taking away a majority vote voted by the state in a valid election and taking that vote and saying it's unconstitutional for that state or for any state that has gay marriage. So how can they pick and choose, you know,
and absolutely
where the law, where the Bill of Rights applies and where it doesn't?
That's what they're trying to do here, too. They're trying to, we voted, I think it was last year, on gay marriage, and North Carolina voted it down. No gay marriage. And our governor at the time, Bev, she got out there and she said that she was embarrassed at North Carolina for what we did. And it's, you know what, it just makes me ill that the person who's in charge of the whole state can come out and say that. Same thing with what the president did the other day. It just makes me ill because they're supposed to be bipartisan. They're supposed to look at the laws and they're supposed to abide by the laws. And they did the same thing with the Zimmerman case. You know, they're saying, oh, well, we don't like that law, so we're going to see what we can do to change it. Really?
Yeah. It's the way they always play. If they lose, they get to cry and whine. So, do we have a caller, Barbara?
We do have a caller. We have Nolan, and he's from North Carolina. He is...
Jared, are you okay, or is that Julia?
That's my dog. I'm sorry she had to.
Oh.
I didn't know what it was.
Bless you to your dog.
May God bless the dog.
She had a stroke today, so.
Oh, no.
Sorry to hear that. So, okay,
yeah.
We have Nolan. You're alive?
Nolan, he's a teenager, and he's homeschooled. So, hey, Nolan, what's going on?
Nothing much. How about yourself?
We're doing good. You wanted to chime in with the ladies.
Yes, I did. I hate to backtrack on what you guys were talking about, but I wanted to go back to what you were talking about with kids being able to, you know, with the gay parents, stuff of that nature, like being able to choose if they want. Like, you'll see now teachers will say to the little girls, you know, hey, you can marry a princess if you want to. You know, and that kind of aspect of things. And what it comes back to is when you get everybody on a social and moral state as low as that, then it's almost like you wipe the slate clean. And you can, in a sense, influence society the way you want to after everybody's on that low moral status. And that's what I've seen happening so far as when I was in the school system and stuff of that nature. So that's just my two cents.
Indoctrinating the kids and indoctrinating the gullible minds to change the belief system.
Yeah, definitely.
Nolan, you are exactly why we are bringing in young patriots into our organization and writing, because you all have such great voices that need to be heard. Because I totally agree with you. What they're trying to do is take advantage of how children want to emulate their parents. And it's like the LBG thing, and now giving them the benefits of adopting children. What a better way to raise more secularists that are atheists and don't believe in God and don't believe in moral upbringing and put them with a couple of gay people, and the child is going to emulate the parents trying to be a homosexual, and it's been proven. 60% of children that are brought up by homosexuals end up being homosexuals, even though they're not blood related.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's frightening. Frightening. And you know, if God, the whole bottom line is, if God had intended this to be the way, then they would be able to have their own children, but they're not. And since they're not, they shouldn't be allowed to have children. And I know some people will go say, well, there's some women that can't have children or, you know, whatever, but
that's an anomaly.
That's not because of a behavior, a sexual behavior that is abnormal. That is usually a physical condition, you know, of one of the parents that creates.
Is Nolan still on?
Yes.
Is Nolan still on? Can I ask Nolan a question?
Sure.
Nolan, as a young gentleman, do you find that your opinions that are more conservative are negatively received by your peers?
I always found that was the case. And, you know, that just made me speak louder, frankly. I only have one friend left from my old school because everybody else was liberal mindset, I hate to say. And that's what I generally talk about is the indoctrination of the school system and things of that nature, being Muslim prayer rugs in my history class, you know, that kind of deal of how nobody was taught.
So you think that your peers' attitudes, which are adverse to yours, are mostly indoctrinated by the schools, not their homes?
Yes, ma'am. Because the parents rely on the schools to teach their children rather than the other way around.
So schools are raising children, not parents. Mm-hmm. But how do these parents relate to their kids and their beliefs, or are they even aware of how their children are believing?
I don't think they're so aware because kids, generally, teenagers, kids, whatever, generally keep what they learn in school at school, and it seems that they don't talk about what they learn at school or what they think to their parents anymore. I know that because I've seen it. Say they adopt a new faith at school, you know, they're most likely not to go home and say, hey, Mom, I've decided that I don't believe what you believe anymore. They just kind of keep it to themselves, and that's the problem. Is that
you know
so many
what the
people
internet?
Aware.
Yeah, you know what the internet, Nolan, and all these kids have access to it. You know, if you want to reach out to them and kind of wake them up to reality, go look up Bill Ayers and what he was propagandizing back when he was using bombs and blowing up police stations and planning other horrific acts and murders. And this guy is now a professor, and so is his wife. And you go read about this man and what he proclaimed needed to be done about destroying, creating total anarchy in this country so that they could take over with the communist agenda. And then you go read about what he recently has put out that's been recorded about the first indoctrination goals is to take over the schools to get across what their message is and to fulfill their prophecies. And then go show your friends, just go look it up and then have your friends go look for themselves. Because I know kids got to see things themselves. They don't believe anybody who tells them something. You make them go look at that and read it yourself, and it will give you some valuable weapons to know who you're up against and what these people are doing to you and to question everything.
All right.
Absolutely. And thank you, Nolan. We want to thank you for calling in. If there's anybody else out there listening, the call-in number is 718-305-7176. You're listening to Women Patriots on Conservative Nation Radio. Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. And conservativenationradio.org is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insights and some of the most informed guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so be sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. And again, the number to call, 718-305-7176. Yeah, this core curriculum or agenda, or what is it they're calling it?
Common
Scope,
core.
C-Scope,
mm-hmm.
Common Core, and whatever name they choose to call it. This is an indoctrination program.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I think one of the writers of this program or her promoters of this program is Bill Ayers.
Mm-hmm.
Correct
Probably.
Me if I'm wrong. Yeah, no, he's giving seminars on Common Core. And for those of you who don't know who Bill Ayers is, he is a domestic terrorist. He was a member of the something underground.
Weather Underground.
Who actually killed some police officers. And were against the establishment, and a crony of President Obama. So, just a little tidbit out there. But yes, what Nolan was speaking
started.
To. Go ahead. Yes.
I was just going to say, President Obama started his political career in Bill Ayers' living room.
Yeah.
He did the first fundraiser.
Yes.
Oh, but he was just the guy down in the neighborhood. So, nobody
yeah, didn't know him
anymore.
Yeah. I think a great film for anybody who has any questions is the Obama 2016 or 2013
yeah.
movie by, it's escaping my mind, but it was a great informational movie. Yes. And they tried to discredit him, saying he was having an affair when actually he was separated from his wife, but because they couldn't dare have somebody speak out against the president. But everything in that film, what interesting enough, back in 2007, I had done my own research, and it pretty much confirmed everything that I had learned myself. And so, great movie for the background, tells you the background of Obama and why he thinks the way he thinks. So... But, yeah, we have got to really, parents have got to be aware of what their kids are being taught. Just look at Texas, what was happening in Texas. I don't know, Julie and Sharon, if you're familiar with that.
I have a couple of younger people that I work with, and... Okay, sorry, I was just reading something, but, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Oh, the kids that I work with, they don't know what's going on, and I brought it to their attention, and now I'm not allowed to talk politics. We got the memo the other day.
Oh, no.
Really?
So I can't say anything to them anymore. I'm not even allowed to talk on the phone about politics. So
am I.
Yeah. So I really can't teach them. And those are the people that need to learn. Because they have, my children are older. So, as you guys were saying earlier about there's just so much going on that you have to kind of focus on one thing and go with that. You can't focus on everything. And that's why you have so many, different writers for different categories. So I don't focus on that as much, but I pass the message on to those who do have younger kids to say, hey, look at this. Check this out. You don't want your kids doing this. So this is something you need to stand up and fight for so they're not into that. But like I said, I'm not allowed to talk politics at work anymore, so that's a drag.
You'll just have to word it differently. Let's talk about school. Hey, did you know they're teaching this in the school curriculum?
Yeah, what are they teaching your children in school?
Oh, my. It's pretty sad. I shouldn't be laughing. It's not really a laughing matter when they're teaching children that our founding fathers were actually terrorists and that true terrorists are freedom fighters. I mean, it speaks to what Nolan was talking about in the schools and how they advance the liberal doctrine among the children. So something we all need to, as adults, be aware of and looking out for the future generations, you know, look for alternative schools to put your children in and or homeschooling. I personally believe that homeschooling is a salvation for this country.
It is.
Because, yes, it started back, I think, in the 80s, and we have a good group of kids, young adults, that come from those families that were actually taught the truth, you know, the truth. So, well, ladies, feel free to jump in. Anything you want to share with our audience? You're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org, and we have Julia and Sharon, who are co-editors of ladypatriots.com, 718-305-7176.
Well, I'll jump in. I want to go back to the subject about the censorship with social media, because this all ties in, and I noticed you said you were not allowed to talk about something. Because our investigations and research with censorship started because of something that happened with me. My entire profile was banned and taken off of Facebook, not once, but twice. And I didn't know what to do. Luckily, I was contacted once by one of my fellow administrators, because I'm also on Barricaded Brigade with Sarah Palin, and they gave me a name of a Facebook executive with out of Washington, D.C., and I corresponded back and forth with her, and she says, well, she said, first of all, they say you're putting out inappropriate material. I said, what inappropriate material? I said, what are you talking about? She goes, well, you put a picture of a beheading up. And I said, listen, and I gave her a copy of every post I had done, including my art, and I said, there's nothing here. She goes, well, they said it was one of your articles. So I gave her the JPEGs of every picture that I had put on my articles. I said, I don't condone putting out graphic violent acts. We all know they're there. I can talk about them, but I don't have to illustrate them. I said, because I have over 4,000 friends on my list, including family and friends who have children, and I do not have control of who sees this. So because I can't, you know, protect young eyes, I do not put this type of material out. Then it comes back to me, I'm sorry, we just made a mistake. But before this all happened and I had a contact, they kept asking me for my driver's license, copies of my utility bills to verify it with me, on and on. And she goes, I'm sorry, it wasn't about a graphic picture. It was about, they thought your ID was hacked. I'm like, wait a minute. According to, because I have Facebook set to keep control of which browsers and what my IP is, it had never changed. I said, how can you say that my ID has been hacked when everything shows it is exactly the same? So it was falsely. They were taking me down in all of my posts because it was getting a lot of attention. Well,
and they were requiring you, Julia, excuse me.
They required my driver's license to prove it was me, everything.
Facebook?
And Facebook.
We have this documented
on our articles. We have pictures of it to prove. There are requests, the emails and such. But we've taken out the context because we do have a couple of conservative friends on Facebook, believe it or not, who are fighting this. But Sharon, and I should let her take over, she decided to go do further research and was contacted by another Facebook page. And Sharon, do you want to take over and say what happened, what you found out? Because they were getting blocked.
Yes.
And Sharon, why don't you tell them what happened with them?
Well, once we did the article for Julia, we had quite a stir. It went, went out to a lot of people. And the page, the Facebook page, Breitbart, One Voice Silence, A Million Awakened, one of the managers talked to me about their situation. They had found on their manager list that Facebook or somebody, they didn't know who it was, had put themselves as a manager of their page. And a manager is one that can get rid of all the other managers. A manager can go in and clean house and get rid of everybody on all the writers. They're the only one that can set up or take out a staff member. And the content managers can put stuff up, but they can't change the staff. And this woman named Joyce had put herself as a manager. And she's like, wow. So she didn't know what to do. So she put her down a peg, and then she took that, but she did a screen capture of this woman in there. And but nobody could find out who she was. Her name was Joyce Tang, and they couldn't find out who she was and whatever. And I did an interview with her, with Joni from Breitbart, and I wrote an article about that. And then I had somebody send me some information on Joyce Tang. And so I was able then to find out who she was and do some research in that area. And I wrote a third article and wrote about Joyce Tang and what she was doing. And I took her resume that she had put up online, and I kind of went through it and basically what she did. And because she's really into revenue. That's what basically her job is building revenue. And so anyway, I wrote the article, and it just went viral like crazy. And so Facebook called me the next day, and they were concerned that I might have put information that would, cause problems for this woman, which I was very careful about that because I didn't even put links to her resume because I didn't want her to be hassled. But anyway, so they contacted me, and she went on and she wrote underneath the article. Basically, her whole thing was, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry I didn't get out of there quick enough. And if you don't want to have any more problems, you need to get content that people will like. Well, nobody really has a problem with our content. The problem is that they can't share the content. They can't pass the content on, or they get blocked or blamed and banned. We had a thing put up on our wall 4 days after this article came out that said, what Julia said, that, we were, on several of us, that we had put something up, and if we ever did it again, we were going to be banned and lose our account. And so that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with mm-hmm. and have been dealing with Facebook. So anyway, I wrote this article. It got a lot of stir, and then I've had several people more people send me stuff, and I really didn't want to do another article on Facebook, but then it turned out that another large page got taken down. And I talked to one of the managers a bit, and it had like 600,000 followers, and that's a big page. And what people don't realize, I get a lot of this. Facebook, it's their business, and you're their guest, and it's none of their. You don't want to be knocked off of Facebook, then don't go on it. But the problem is, every business in America, in most of the world, goes through Facebook. Mom and
yes.
pop stores go through Facebook.
Yes.
You build your business through Facebook, and if you lose Facebook, you lose your business. When you have 600,000 people who like your page and buy your T-shirt and sell your T-shirt and all these things, and you got this business through Facebook, built around Facebook, and then they tear your page down, they've torn your business down. They
right.
have broken your business and broken your back.
Right.
And they
and you
do
have
it to a lot of people.
And you have to wonder, Sharon, in light of the IRS targeting of conservatives and tea parties, if, is there more to this Facebook thing? So, hey, we do have a caller, ladies, so let's bring him on. Boyd, you're live and on the air.
Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Good.
Well,
how are you?
Good. Oh, I'm hanging in there. I feel like bacon in an oven right now, and that it just ain't right. I should be in a cast iron skillet. It's hot here.
Wait, aren't you in Alaska?
Yeah.
And it's hot
there?
Really?
Yeah, it's 71
How
degrees.
Hot? Whoa, that's,
70.
Oh, that's
You're
nice.
You're hot at 71 degrees.
I think we hit 96 today. We don't want to hear about that.
Hey, I'm sorry that you guys I'm sorry you guys chose to live down there. That's your problem.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but we love our Bibles and we love our guns.
Yeah. I think Boyd probably likes his guns, too, and maybe his Bible. So do you have a question for the ladies, Boyd? Or anything you want to interject?
You know, I was going to take you back to the marriage thing. And, you know, up until I think it was around 1934, marriage was a pretty simple process. But after 34, Congress passed the Marriage Act, which required you to get a license to get married. Now, if you really look at what marriage does for a couple and stuff, it's all related to taxes.
Exactly.
And the IRS. I mean, it's an easy way to get all those benefits. But, you know, a person can get those benefits without a marriage license. I mean, if you look at it, it's a bit harder to do it, but you can do it. I mean, first thing is you swear your oath to your partner, and that's a freebie there. I mean, you can do that in any church you want to, or any place that you see fit. You know, and you know, all you have to do is swear it to that person, and you can consider yourself married. Now, to go on and get the other benefits stuff is that somebody in that relationship can go through all the IRS paperwork and get declared head of household, which you don't have to do once you get married. You can go to court and legally change the name, you know, of the person whom you're getting married. That takes some time and some money. Oh God, I had a whole laundry list of things that you can do to become married. You know, you can write a binding business contract between the couples so that in the event that the marriage disintegrates, you know, you split up your property for whatever. And, you know, if that was taken off the table, there would be a lot less hassle getting a divorce. You know, and it goes on and on and on, you know, with all that. You know, so a person can get legally married per se, and not get a license. They just have to have all their just have to get all their documents together. Yeah.
Can I say this is Dr. Schutz. I'm an ordained minister, and in my years of pastoring with my husband, we both co-pastored together, and I've probably married at least minimum 150 to 200 couples, at least, probably more. And you are absolutely right. I have married couples on their deathbed, and there was no license involved. But when that person was buried, that person was buried with her new husband's name. And in God's eyes, and, you know, as a minister, that's where I go first. And I take it very seriously when I do a wedding. When I join a man and a woman together, if they're Christians, I'll use a Christian wedding. But if they're not, I won't even require them to say that they'll go to church, because they're making a vow before God. And the thing is, I've done weddings without a license. And, you know, and the thing is, it's God that ordains the wedding. It's God that, you know, and I deal with the couple as far as they're concerned, where the law is concerned. And you're absolutely right. Now, you know, but I'm very serious about it, on the other hand, too, that when I do sign that marriage license and marry somebody, and then I sign the license and take it to the courthouse, that's a legal document, and they have to then go to court to undo what I just did in 5 minutes. And so it's a very serious thing.
Okay, so you're right. Dr. Schultz has talked about the moral aspect of marriage, which, first of all, I want to make one statement. I think the government should say out of marriage it should remain a religious ceremony only.
Amen.
And that if the common law, as far as whether it's gay or whatever, fine, then you can fall into these aspects. But as far as marriage itself, that doctrine should have remained religious and never been a part of federal government. After saying that, though, I'm going to say this right now, since I do study law. There are only 11 states in the United States now that recognize common law marriage. And this is what you're describing. There are 20 states that used to but no longer do, and there's 13 states that never had common law. And the requirements are, as you said, they must have a commitment to each other. They must cohabitate with each other. They must hold themselves as a husband and wife and perceive it to the community that they're husband and wife. And, hello?
Yeah.
Okay, now any person who's common law married, in a good majority of the states, when they move to another state that doesn't have common law marriage, that marriage, depending on the state's laws, usually, like Mississippi does not recognize it, but most states will recognize it even if they do not have common law themselves. But marriage in itself, as far as the ceremony, should never have been part of any jurisdiction as far as law. It should have remained as far as religious doctrine. And as far as the tax filing, they should just get rid of it as far as the marital status. And instead, you know, the tax should be applied to joint owners and to children and such, and just get rid of the whole marital thing completely, because they're trying to pull in a religious doctrine, and then they're trying to secularize it, and that's wrong. But I'm just speaking on the legal end of it, but I agree. Common law marriage, where it exists, is exactly like what you said.
Right.
But you can go and purchase property, two individuals, married or not, living together, and you can go and buy it joint with severability or survivorship. Whereas either when one dies, the property all goes to the other upon death without any income tax paid, and you do not have to be married. Or you can have it severed to where one person has interest, the other person has interest equally, but their heirs are according to how they place them. But, you know, the whole religion, the whole ceremony itself should be taken out of government, period.
Yeah,
and
they should never been there. They should have never been there,
exactly.
But they've been there because of money issues, I'm sure.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and you're right in my ballpark, or I'm in yours, whichever. But the thing is that this is a fight that actually should be taken with abolishing the income tax of that nature, because it is because of that income tax that the deductions have been placed on it, you know, a marriage license lets you do all those legal things that you can do, but it only takes, you know,
one piece of paper.
Costs anymore. I haven't bought one for 35 years, but you know,
okay, we got some noise going here. Let me see who. Okay, is that better?
Driving. Yeah.
But,
okay.
But you know, I don't know what a marriage license costs anymore. I mean,
$30 some odd years ago,
I got mine.
Like that.
Yeah. Anyway, you can do all that $30 with a license. If they got rid of the income tax and all the tax deductions and stuff like that for being married, then I think it would pull this issue completely off the table.
Well, and that's why, you know, this movement to abolish the IRS and just go to a flat tax system is so much more beneficial, because an individual, if they make $10,000, they pay, $1,000 over a year. If they make $100,000, they pay, you know, if it's a flat tax, it's non-discriminatory.
Exactly.
And if you're going to get into personal property, It's easily remedied by titleship. You have titleship with survivorship, and it goes to your partner without any income tax because they're the surviving owner. As far as inheritance, if you have it on insurance, insurance is not taxable. Of course, Obama's wanting to change inheritance tax to 55%. You're going to get into a whole can of worms and keep the IRS into business. They're trying to tax something that, you know, income has already been taxed, it was already earned, and then they're wanting to tax again because a person died. This is ridiculous.
Right.
But, I mean, that's what's killing farmers. I mean, that's what's killing our industry and the farming industry is because farmers cannot retain land that has been kept in their families for generations by handing it down because they're looking at getting hit with 55% tax rate. We're going to lose all of our farmers in the United States, and it's going to be owned by Monsanto and everything else, and that's with no competition. And I think that's what basically their agenda is anyway.
Yeah, and I think so too. But we need to take a little break here, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org, 718-305-7176, if you'd like to join the conversation. Conservativenationradio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity, security, and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps you protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner and network may not cover all transactions, so the scope may vary. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
And we're back live with Julia and Sharon, co-editors of LadyPatriots.com, and we are Women Patriots on ConservativeNationRadio.org. The number to call, 713-05-7176. And we were just kind of discussing marriage laws and tax laws. And I think, was it Julia, you mentioned flat tax versus fair tax. Hello?
Hello, Julia?
Julia, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Now I got you. I was just wondering if you had a preference. You mentioned flat tax. Do you have a preference between a flat tax or a fair tax?
I think flat tax is fair. I think it's non-discriminatory. I think that if you make nothing, you pay nothing. If you make, you know, a small amount of money, you contribute a small amount of money. I think that, you know, if a equitable straight percentage is made, it gets rid of all these illegal, what I'd like to consider illegal, but these tax breaks that large corporations are able to get away with, especially moving funds over to such as Ireland, like Facebook does, and, you know, Google and and what was it? Was it GE that paid no taxes despite all the billions they make? I think
because they're businessmen, flat corporate and personal tax.
I think personal and corporate tax is most fair.
Yeah. They actually, you know, with our tax code the way it is, they give them these loopholes. And, you know, actually, if you're in business, you'd be a fool not to take advantage of them. And so we need to rewrite our tax code. And I kind of actually favor fair tax. So because it becomes a consumption tax, and then you pay basically by what you use and what you do. So, but anyway... I think we all agree, though,
that the IRS system is broke.
It's broken.
Oh, absolutely.
Our code tax, you know, code 76. Yes, it's got to go.
And I don't remember exactly where. Oh, here it is, as a matter of fact. The migration or importation of such persons as of any state now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be prohibited by the Congress prior to the year 1880, but a tax or duty may be imposed on such importation, well, that's not exceeding $10 for each person, okay? And that's in Section 9, Article 1. And then somebody had posted earlier on Facebook how the IRS and the taxation is a scam, and it's not legal. And I had to say, unfortunately, you know, there's Amendment 16, where the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on income from whatever source derived without appropriation, among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. So they put it in there where they could take what they want, how they want to set it up. But they also, in any of the law books, supposedly, they cannot find a law about taxes being imposed on us.
Well, even Harry Reid said they were voluntary. he could have bit his tongue when he said it, but he did say it.
Yeah, except for if you don't pay them, they're going to come take your house. So they're not really voluntary. But they have to be voluntary to be constitutional, so therefore they have to call them voluntary. But until we get rid of this monster, the IRS, you know, we can't get to this voluntary tax system because they hold the power. And
I saw somebody the other day said that as long as we have the IRS, we are slaves.
Yes.
That the IRS is actually, you know, holds us in bondage. And that was very thought-provoking. I thought that was very thought-provoking.
And especially if they're going to put them in charge of our health care. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. I'm not liking it one bit. Let me just say for this Obama health care that, you know, some people think is oh so great, I'm not liking it. And I'm not liking it because it's affecting the care that we give to patients. And the first thing in health care should be the patient care. And unfortunately, whenever the government gets involved and money becomes involved, the first thing to suffer is the patient care. And
my mother just turned 80, and it's affecting her already. They've cut her off of a lot of her medications and stuff because she's 80.
Yeah. So you know, therefore, you're no longer worthy. Mm-hmm. We don't care if you're a healthy 80. We're not going to pay for this. And it's not just 80. 70 is going to be the age. And Medicare, if you go in the hospital with something and they send you home, and if you get readmitted within 30 days, the hospital gets penalized. Now, what do you think that's going to do to health care for the elderly?
They're going to turn them away.
Well,
I'll wait, let them home to die.
You know what?
Exactly.
That's what happened. Because I have a family member who's kind of got a situation like that, and he's in his 70s,
And he was in the hospital. They kept him in there for 10 days, and he didn't need to be in there for 10 days, but they kept him in there just to be safe that he wouldn't come back. And then he had another issue that came up, and the doctor flat out told them, we cannot do surgery because we won't get paid because it's within the 30 days. So you have to wait until after your 30 days is up so we can admit you in the hospital and do what we have to do.
Which,
and there's no such thing as death panels.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, right. Sarah Palin had it right all along.
Mm-hmm.
And
she normally does.
Yes,
she
does.
She does.
And it's pretty sad that, you know, people wouldn't listen, you know. And of course, you know, the left always, when you're too close to home, they have to make this joke about it.
Sure.
Because that's their way of playing it down. And yet, that's basically what this is. When they tell you, we don't care if you have congestive heart failure, you were just here 2 weeks ago, we can't treat you because we'll get penalized. We won't get our money, which Medicare already pays pennies on the dollar to hospitals for care. And so, you know, it's not like we're getting rich off of Medicare, because we're not. A lot of doctors treat just, you know, sometimes out of the goodness of their hearts, you know.
The most heartbreaking thing about it, though, is that we paid in that money. My dad paid.
Oh, absolutely.
All of his life so that my mom could be taken care of. My husband has paid all of our lives for us.
But people forget, not only did you pay in, your employer matched what you paid in.
Exactly. But they're acting like they're doing us a favor by letting us live.
And the government raided Social Security and took money out of the plan. And this is why it's never a good thing to put the money in the hands of the government. We should have policies with our names on them. They raided the plan, and that's why it's going to go broke if they don't, you know, fix it. And, you're absolutely right. It's just sad because, you know, so that you could take care of yourself.
Medicaid and welfare have just stripped it. I mean, they took what was supposed to be a retirement pension type of plan and an insurance prepaid. Basically, Social Security on the Medicare part is prepaying health insurance, so it's financially, you're still paying it. I mean, next year, Medicare payment out of Social Security, the payment that's taken out of their check every month is going to be around $214 or $224 a month. It was $96 last year. It's $119 this year, and it's going to $214 next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just to keep the payments reasonable so that when they did retire, that they could afford it. Because it automatically comes out of their pension plan that they paid in called Social Security. But then it was bled off by Medicaid, which is not paid in by any individual, and it is given to the indigent, the lazy. You know, we have certain people we do have to be socially responsible for.
Because, alcohol is a disease.
You know, right. There are people, though, that are born, whether it's handicapped, that they could never work, or, you know, physical and mental handicaps. We do believe a social responsibility towards people who are no part of their own are unable to take care of themselves.
Right.
So, but then when we extend this to a welfare system that we are giving free heating and air conditioning, as LHEAP is called, we're giving them free housing, as such as Section 8 is called, we're giving them free Medicaid, which is medical, which has no deductible and pays 100%, whereas even Medicare does not get that. And then we're giving them welfare checks on top of that. Then we're raiding our agricultural system, and 80% of our agricultural system is supporting, what is it, the last number, 32 million on food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And you start adding these benefits, are getting, well, the average income for a person who's on full entitlements, that means your housing, your power, now they've got telephones that are free, they've got, they get cable and internet free.
They get paid free. They get food free. They get the schooling. They get the after-school care. They get the before-school care. They get the free lunches, the free breakfast. They get, you know, the free if you add it all together, it is around $50,000 a year. There are a lot of Americans out there that are busting their butts that aren't making $50,000 a year.
Once again,
remember, too, that on your cell phone bills or on your landline bills, there's a tax on that for that phone. On all your bills, there's an added tax to help pay for that. And why we're getting taxed on it twice. I mean, we're paying twice. It's insane. That's why.
Once again, it's punish the responsible and reward the moochers, basically. But I have a clip, you know, because this reminded me of my Reagan clip, and I'm going to play it real quick here because this is one of my favorite little clips from Reagan back in the 60s.
Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Farrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Farrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that.
That was a speech that he gave, I believe, back in 1964, and still applicable today. Get your foot in the door. Let's get our foot in the door for, you know, the medicine. Let's get our foot in the door. And then they abuse, you know, oh, it's just for this. And then it grows exponentially. And pretty soon we end up with this monster that we now have in Washington, D.C., Well, ladies, we're down to about the last 6 minutes of the show, so I do want to thank you both for joining us tonight. Lady Patriots, Beach Women Patriots, it's been great getting some more, you know, validation and some more opinions other than our own. And thank you, Boyd, for calling in. And you're welcome to call in anytime. We're here every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 Eastern, and we would welcome anytime you think there's a subject, you know, maybe you need to get out there, just give us a call and we'll talk about it, because that's what we're here to do, is just to get the information out to the American people and try to push the conservative cause and let people know they're not alone. So thank you both, Julia and Sharon, for joining us.
Thank you so much. We so
yes,
appreciate
thank you for
you
having
coming
us. It's
on.
Been fun. Yeah, have a good evening.
All right, you guys take care now. So, okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Oh, very nice to have other conservative women working out there and having the same kind of values that we do, too. So, yeah, we got a government that is totally out of control, too much money in one place that needs to be dismantled piece by piece and put back together under the rules of the Constitution. And we have judges that need to be impeached for not holding up the rule of law. And currently we have a president that we need to keep fighting and fighting and pointing out the inconsistencies in his stories. You know, as General Hamm stood before the committee today and said they knew it was a terrorist attack immediately, and yet Obama and Hillary Clinton blamed it on a video, and they arrested the video maker. He's still in jail, the only one punished for the bombings in Benghazi. We need to hold them accountable. We need to continue to speak out, because only when we are silent will we be defeated. And so for all of you out there working toward this cause, because I know we're just not the only ones. We got Lady Patriots. We got Rage Against the Media. We have Thoughtful Women. We have Jan Morgan Media. We have many, many other groups that are working just as hard to push the information. Use the Twitter. Use the Facebook. If they shut you down, come back. Come back bigger. Come back stronger. As Kirk Cameron did, he took to the airwaves, and they reinstated him for his movie that he's got coming out. So we can do this. We just have to continue to keep punching back against the falsehoods that are being fed out there by the media.
Yep, and we also have to really be more vigilant now that all these little stupid things are over. Kate and Prince Charles, or whoever he is, whichever one he is, they had a baby. God bless them all. George Zimmerman, God bless you. You know, and we've got to focus back on the issues.
Right.
The big guys.
Which is
Benghazi.
Not
IRS.
Only Benghazi.
And actually, you know what nobody's mentioned, which kind of freaked me out a little bit, and I've been trying to push this. I can't believe I waited until now. But there was three courts that said Obama unconstitutionally appointed those appointees, recess appointees.
Right. His labor resource.
And the third, right. And the third one was last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a biggie. These are impeachable offenses. And
absolutely, because he's violated the Constitution, which he had took an oath to uphold.
And
absolutely.
And Nixon resigned for less.
Oh yeah. Especially when Benghazi, if it can ever get the truth out of these people, left.
No, but they got the other
ambassador's
general
right.
too.
So
the Pentagon finally
this IRS went. Thing, Barbara, is big. This was using an arm of the government to target rivals, to win an election. And that is also criminal. So many, many stories out there. We want to remind you to tune in for Radio Free America tomorrow evening from 6 to 8 Central, 7 to 9 Eastern Time, right here on conservativenationradio.org. The place for the conservatives to be. And we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. We want to thank all the callers that called in. We had some great discussions. And if you're listening out there and you want to be a guest on the show, just hit us up at conservativenationradio.org. We'll be more than happy to make that happen. So going out with a little bit of a song. Thank you and good night.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
forgot to get to the right song. I apologize.
Hey, good girl. Your head in the clouds. I bet you I can tell you what you're thinking about. You'll see a good boy. Gonna give you the world, but he's gonna leave you crying with your heart in the dirt. His lips are dripping honey, but he'll sting you like a bee. So lock up all your love and go and throw away the key. Hey, good girl, get out while you can. I know you'll think you got a good man. Why you gotta be so blind? Want to open. And go.